listed online. If you're one of the people that like to have the slides early, you're welcome to go get the slides at dc-aca.org/innerchild. If you, on a technical note, if you like to have the people in a side-by-side view with the slides, you can just go up to the top and change your view to side-by-side view, and it won't be in a pop-up box. Okay, so let's get going. What are we going to be talking about here today? Overview. We're going to talk about why we're doing this inner child work, the term inner child, chaos in the inner child, which eventually is going to be talking about how to reduce that that internal chaos, all those voices inside, making space for the true self to come out. We're going to talk about how to identify our inner children. We're going to talk about our critical parent. We're going to talk about connecting and healthy living with our inner children, clashes with our inner children, working with our true selves, and finally, we're going to finish up with the seventh tradition. We're going to have two exercises during this, where there will be audience participation, and also going to have questions and answers at the end. Why is this inner child workshop so important to integrating these laundry list traits? Well, the key for me is that these are our child's traits. They weren't just laundry list traits for them. They were our child's survival traits then. They literally was what kept us alive. So in my house, my mom was everything. She was very dominant. My dad was very passive. So passive that he just didn't even say a whole lot of words. So the way my mom lived was by the philosophy, focus on the crack in the vase. So what it was like for me was when I brought home tests from school, and I would get a 98% on them, we would spend a half an hour going over the 2% that I got wrong. So that was the crack in the vase, the looking at the crack in the vase idea. And even if I got 100%, we would talk about efficiency and how I wasn't efficient enough, and that I didn't schedule my bathroom breaks efficiently enough, and so forth. And this is how I grew up. So if it's no doubt that when I grew up this way, that my survival trait became people pleasing and trying to do things just right for mom. But mom also came from a dysfunctional home. She, one day for her house, you know, she got two wrong on a spelling test. So she had, and one of the words I remember is fairy, and I can't remember the other words, but my grandmother had her spell those words all day long. So that's the sort of thing that creates this ACA where we develop that. And so she had this whole thing where everything had to be just right. So I got everything had to be just right. So what did I learn? I learned to be a people pleaser. I learned to judge myself harshly. And I learned about that the words black and white are good and bad thinking. Now, these traits that were survival traits for us then were right now are the bane of our existence. So how did this all affect me, this inner child that was wounded and wanted to be things just right? Well, the inner child gets profoundly affected. As an adult, I was so into people pleasing before ACA. I decided that I was going to fix as many people's computers for free as possible, just to get this positive feedback. And I would, you barely had to know me. I could hear you on the street. And I was so compulsive with it. I'd just say, hey, I fixed your computer for you. And I did. And it was so satisfying because it had so much just good and bad, right and wrong. Your computer was blue screening. Now it's not blue screening. And then people would be like, Brad, you're so wonderful. Thank you, Brad. But what it was about is I had this black hole inside that couldn't be filled with external praise. It's because I couldn't do the internal praise. Why couldn't I do the internal praise? Because of my inner child. My inner child was wounded. So let's go and talk about what I mean by inner child. Okay, the term inner child. The way the system works for me and my fellow traveler was we had to break apart the term inner child as it's described in the Big Red Book. The Big Red Book looks at the inner child and says, the inner child plus the true self is the inner child with the Big Red Book definition. And it's also the self that's most in touch with the higher power. So for me, that doesn't work very well for me because my inner child, when I think of my inner child, I think of a 12-year-old inside of me. And he is covered up with laundry list traits. And my true self is myself without laundry list traits. So if I break those two apart for me, the true self and the inner child, suddenly I've got something to work with. I can focus on my inner child, and then I can try to let my true self out. And that's the framework that really started working with me. Especially because I think of my inner children as specific ages. And I'll get back to more of that as we go on. Okay. Living with my inner children and making myself space for my true self. Okay. If I ask myself, why do I act this way? Why am I such a procrastinator? Why do I have such a hard time getting things done in advance and so forth? And why is it so painful if I sit down and when I sit down and work sometimes? This is my inner child trying to express himself, get out there. It's my pain of my inner child, and I'm going to talk more about that. Another thing I'd like to imagine is when I'm feeling bad and acting out my laundry list traits, I think of the inner child driving the bus. And the inner child, I got to tell you, my 12-year-old, not a good bus driver at all. So he's not going to do very well for me as a bus, you know, and think about that 12-year-old. How's he going to dealing with relationships with my kids or my wife? Or doing my work. But the thing I know about that inner child is he's not going to let go of driving that bus until he knows that there's an adult there that's going to be taking that job off of his hands. And we're going to talk more about that. Okay, so what is this framework about making space for the true self? Well, what happens is if for me, if there's so much inner child pain going on and there's so much chaos going on and the noises and the pain are so loud, there's not going to be a lot of space for the true self to come out. So if I'm feeling really bad in about myself and I am just really harsh on myself, Brad, why are you doing this? You're always doing this wrong. You're always late. You're too angry with your kids, on and on. If I'm in that space, it's awfully hard for my true self to come out. And a lot of those statements I made are pain for my inner child. Okay. So let's talk about identifying our inner child. Okay, now this journey is going to be different for everyone. The inner children I have, and I keep on saying inner children because I have many different inner children for me. I have a 12-year-old that's significant to me. I have some teenagers that are significant to me. And I have a 20-year-old that's significant to me. And then also, I'm 49 years old. I could have an inner child that's 48 years old. The way I think about the inner children is these are Brads of the past. So how does an inner child get created? It's a significant experience that happened in childhood, a flashbulb moment type of thing. Places we got stuck. Remember that story about my mom who had to do all day long, had to spell two words all day long. That's the kind of crap that'll create an inner child. One of the things that happened to me as a kid, and you guys probably noticed that I stutter. As a child, I had really bad stuttering. kind of blockage type of stuttering. And in the 70s, speech therapy, not very good at the time. And one of the things that's happened is when I went to the speech therapist for the stuttering, he took a button and he used white out ink to white out the whole button. And then he wrote in a different color on the white, "My name is Brad and I can control my speech." And then he threatened me that I would have to wear this in public if I couldn't speak more fluently. So that's what we call shame therapy, which is not what is not in practice nowadays. But again, that's my phrase. That's the kind of crap that creates an inner child. And we all have these memories of these moments that just happened where we got hurt. And there's an inner child created. So I have that 12-year-old that just feels anxious. My inner children have kind of specific feelings to them. My 12-year-old is anxious. My 14 to 16-year-old is starting to realize something is wrong. All these rules at home and not being able to do anything right, starting to get angry, starting to think about girls. And then I was so ACA, I could barely take care of me. I stuttered and then asking out girls. Oh my goodness, that was so frustrating. And then I have a 20-year-old. In college, my ACJ traits exploded and I crashed and I failed out of college. And I ended up going back and graduating. But did I fail out of college because I wasn't bright? That I didn't know that I wasn't capable of doing the work? What I wasn't capable of is not having the tools. I wasn't capable of dealing with my ACA traits. So I have this 20-year-old now that his primary thing is he's scared of failure. And when I often feel scared of failure, I can reach for that 20-year-old. And so there are some of my inner children right there. So my inner children's feelings often line up with these laundry list traits, people pleasing, fear of authority figures. We know the traits, and they will line up sometimes with my inner children very, very well. And so that it's another way to help identify my inner child. Okay, cool. Exercise time. I love audience participation. Okay, cool. Now we're going to do some exercises. But I got to do a warning. We're going to be looking back at significant events in our childhood. And just as a straight up warning, people do not have to do this if looking back at past events is too traumatic. Take care of yourself is what I'm inviting you to do. So let's think in this exercise, what we're going to do is we're going to reach for our inner child. We're going to take a couple minutes here and just close our eyes and reach for that inner child and think about what significant experiences created that inner child. Where did we get stuck? Is there a dominant feeling, anxious, scared, mad, glad, sad, all that type of stuff? We can even think about what laundry list traits have. And don't be afraid to have an older inner child like I do. We're going to come back, then we're going to take some volunteers that may want to share their findings, and we'll do some two-minute shares. I'm also going to open up the chat so that people can chat with other people. They want to talk about inner child. Sharon, would you mind opening up the chat that everybody can chat to each other? And so we're going to just take about 2 minutes. Feel free to close your eyes, or you could use a piece of paper. There's also not non-dominant handwriting if you want to do that, where you ask a question with your dominant hand and your inner child answers with the non-dominant hand. Let's just take a few minutes to do that, and then we'll take some volunteers. going to take about 30 more seconds. Okay, guys, we're going to do this. If we can go ahead and people that want to do it, raise their blue hand, you can get your hand raised on the participant tab. We're going to participant button. We're going to just take a handful. We're going to do a 2-minute timer on this. Sarah, would you mind doing two-minute time? Do you have something available? If not, I can get someone.
Could you get someone? I'm sure I have it, but I don't use it. So
okay,
I can do it, Brad.
Thanks, Beth. Okay, let's go ahead. Victoria, who is our first person that wants to share about reaching?
The first person is Trish, so I'm going to unmute Trish.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you, Trish. Okay.
Hi, everybody. My name is Trish, and I am a recovering adult child. Thank you so much for this wonderful service. It's so great to see how this program is growing in our areas. What struck me about doing this is I think I have always, there's one really life-defining thing that happened when I was 8 years old, and every time I work with my inner child, that's the one that comes to mind, my 8-year-old. But in hearing you talk about, you know, the different ages and stuff, I'm really becoming aware now that there was a 5-year-old prior to that event that had some issues. There was a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, a couple of years after that event who became like the protector and the defender of the 8-year-old. And I just really, I'm really realizing now, 8 years into this, that I've always lumped them into the 1 8-year-old, but maybe there are other things to look at. And I appreciate that. Idea, and it's going to help me with my recovery. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Fantastic. Thank you, Trish. Victoria, you're muted.
Yes, I am muted. Okay, so the next one is KS. So I'm going to unmute KS and lower her hand. KS, does she want to share? I don't see her.
Kate, are you unmuted? We could go back to someone else if we're having technical.
Brad, this is Sharon. I had to allow participants to unmute themselves.
Okay.
Okay. To the next panel?
Yes.
Kate says she's not unmuted.
I clicked unmute, but let me see. Let me go back to her.
Sometimes people have to hit their own unmute as well.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Kate. You keep trying to unmute yourself, and we'll come back to you, Victoria. Let's go on to the next person.
All right. So the next person will be, looks like Kayleen C.
Hi, guys. I'm Kayleen, adult child.
Hi, Kayleen.
So in the past, after like 10 months in ACA, I think I was trying so hard to connect to my inner child without giving her, you know, that loving parent first. And then during the beach meditation in the Big Red Book, I finally connected to her. And now, lately, I've been realizing that I definitely have an angry, angry inner teenager as well. And the other night, I was reading some of my past journals, and I just didn't feel connected to that person at all. Like, I couldn't believe that was me that wrote these things. And she felt very unheard just now when I checked in with her by my non-communicative family. And I pictured her like punching a brick wall and getting nowhere and like her knuckles bleeding, but she just kept punching it and she didn't feel connected, you know, to her family or to my current self. But I think she let me know that she's ready to, you know, feel that anger towards my abusers and heal those wounds and just, you know, she can finally give up punching and just let me comfort her. And I told her that we're, you know, safe now and I'll hold her hand and we'll be gentle on ourselves. And that was amazing to finally connect with that.
That sounds lovely. Do your inner children have a specific ages or is it more one?
Originally when I did the beach meditation, it was me at like 5 or 6 years old, platinum white blonde hair and the lovely bowl cut my mom used to always give me that I hated. But now definitely this was more of a teenager, like 15, 16 years old. So.
Excellent. Does your 5-year-old and your teenager have different feelings to you when you reach for them?
Definitely. The younger one is 5 or 6 is just more scared, more timid. And then the teenager one's just angry, just so angry, you know, and right now I've been struggling to feel that anger. I've never really in my adult life felt that anger towards my dad and my brother and stuff. So I think I need to get in touch with her more and feel those things.
Thank you for sharing, Kayleen. One or two more.
Okay. I'm going to try Kate one more time. Hold on. See if I can get her to unmute.
And Brad, while we're waiting,
we got it. Thank you. Sorry,
hold on a second, Kate. Christopher Tech Help wanted to say one thing. We'll be right with you.
After Kate's share is done, if you could just announce for people who are only on phone, how for them to raise their hand in the meeting.
I believe that's *9 to raise your hand. In the meeting, if you want to raise your hand on phone. Sorry about the technical interruption, Kate. We do want to hear from you.
No problem. Thank you. Hi, I'm Kate. I'm an ACA.
Hi, Kate.
Thank you so much for this workshop. I'm loving it so far. Getting a lot out of it. So my example is I have a father who is an alcoholic, but also seriously mentally ill. And when the moment that really came to mind for me that I've been struggling with a lot recently with this inner child coming out is when I was 16. And that was really the turning point when my mom kind of deputized me to convince him he had to go to the psych ward from the time when he was having a mental breakdown. And, you know, as a 16-year-old, you kind of think you can do a lot, but you're still really a kid and it's still your dad, you know, stuck and scared and telling you he's fine. And what I get from this is a laundry list number 7, I get guilt feelings when I stand up for myself. How could I hurt my dad that way or my mom? You know, there's no way to win. Judging myself harshly, number 11, stuffed feelings because I had to put on a brave face and act like I could do it and I could, you know, handle this. Terrified of abandonment because what if something happened to my dad because I couldn't get him in there, which is what's happening today. And then it really goes down to the last one, which is we become reactors and not actors, and going into that mode of I'm going to solve things and I can do it, but I really can't because who can ultimately fix that? Certainly not a teenager. So thanks for letting me share.
Hey, thanks so much. We're just going to do one more, but I promise we're going to have a second exercise and a question and answer. Victoria, right. Who's next?
Kimberly N. Kimberly, and let me see.
Hi, can you hear me? Hi.
Yes, we hear you, Kimberly.
I'm Kimberly, ACA in the Boston area, and really appreciate this workshop. Thinking about my inner kids, and one of the slides, it struck me about, I used to have this feeling of like my little kids hijacked, you know, the situation. And you know, I'm more loving today, but I have a very strong 5-year-old that I'm very aware of. And my mother almost died when I was 5. She had an ectopic pregnancy, and I didn't know this till years later, but she sent my siblings and I to live with my grandparents for a month. And, you know, over the years, people would leave, you know, significant people in my life would go away, and I would get this panicked feeling. and I wouldn't be able to breathe. My chest felt heavy. And then my mother, you know, I was in my 30s and she told me that, and it just, it made so much sense. But that 5-year-old comes up when, and over the years, I haven't gotten close to people if they're sick or something, because I have a fear that they're going to die or they're going to go away. But then at the same time, I have a feeling of that I'm a person, because I wanted to take care of my mother and I couldn't understand why she sent me away.
Yeah.
So there's this mixed feeling of I'm not enough. She, you know, I can't help her. So then I've tried to control and fix other people, trying to recreate that. And I've also been in relationships where I'm desperate to stay in the relationship because I don't want to be abandoned, you know, and that's, I recreate that feeling of, so I'm just, I'm grateful. I'm aware of all these little kids inside of me and just trying to learn how to comfort them when, you know, when that feeling comes up, so it doesn't consume me. I'm 55 and I want to live as a 55-year-old and not be reacting to life out of, you know, those younger places. So I'm grateful for.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Kimberly. Just one question. Do you have a specific feeling that you use to when you reach out for your inner children? Maybe if you feel panic, you tend to think that's your 5-year-old, or have you used feelings before like that?
Terror. I think the 5-year-old's like a lot of terror, and I get a constriction, like a, that's a sensation, but yeah, I can't breathe. I get numb and, but it's just this real feeling of terror, being completely alone.
Thanks so much for having the courage to share. Okay. We're going to move on in the presentation. If someone could put the blue digital hands down, Sharon, if you wanted to clear the hands or Victoria, and if everyone, that is unmuted could mute themselves except for the people that I talked to previously. Okay, so let's go on to the next slide. Critical parent. Okay, so we got to talk about the critical parent. How can we not talk about the inner child and the loving parent when talk about the critical parent? Okay, so the critical parent, when I talk to myself with my critical parent, or my critical parent talks to me, my inner children feel that. So I'm like, Brad, you're stupid. Why is this taking you so long? How come you always react that way? What is your deal? All that kind of stuff. That kind of stuff filters down to my inner children. And it comes down to the feeling, you know, that kind of shame feeling, the not love, the trap. It filters down to my inner children. So I wanted to talk a little bit about how I deal with the critical parent. There's three techniques I tend to use. This is an early technique that I use that I don't use so much anymore. More of a hard boundary when the critical parent showed up. I'd be like, dude, critical parent, get out of here. You know, you're awful. You smell. You need to go away. You know, I just you're like taking up all this space, and you have to leave now. You're like a bad house guest. That type of thing going on. And I would be that, or I'd swear at the critical parent, and so forth. I don't use that so much anymore, but it was my first time go-to, and it worked for me well for a while. Now, my favorite one that I use with my critical parent now is, I am 49 years old. If keeping myself on a short leash, if kicking my own ass was going to work, it would have worked by now. I have 49 years of data. And so if this is, seriously, if the critical parent worked for me, I would not be an ACA. Everything would be just functioning fine. But the thing is, it just doesn't work. And so when I talk to my critical parent, like, it doesn't work. It just totally doesn't work. The only thing that works for me is kindness and gentleness. That really kind of brings me down. And then lastly, is this sort of thing is a kind of intricated, but I will reach out to my critical parent and I will show my critical parent kindness. Be like, man, I know you're trying to keep me safe, but the whip is not working, and I know you were hurt so bad at that time. we were all hurt so bad, you know, and I'll just be nice and be like, look, the water's nicer on this side. Come over to the loving side, the caring side type of thing. And that diffuses my critical parent. And one more thing before we get off the critical parent. Sometimes it can be difficult to tell the difference between a critical parent and an inner child, and I'll tell you why. If my inner child is parroting or echoing my mom's voice, it can sound a lot like my critical parent. And so that hard boundary, I don't want to be telling my, you know, my inner child that he smells or he's a bad house guest or something like that. I want to, you know, and so what I do is often if it's a softer approach and if I try some comforting, then it's, and it works, it's likely my inner child. If I do some comforting and my critical parent or that voice, which I'm trying to figure out is critical parent, inner child, has a hard edge, it's probably critical parent. So those are some of the techniques we use for that. So now let's talk about connecting with our inner children and using our loving parent. Okay. One of the things I talked about was non-dominant handwriting. And this has been talked about, and there's been so many workshops about this. I'm not going to spend much time on that. Just as people know, you can write a question from current you with your dominant hand and answer it with your non-dominant hand, and that's your inner child. And like I said, that's been gone over so much. There's so much good stuff out there. I don't want to spend much time on that. I'm going to spend some time on the other things that we do in our program, our system here. Okay. Now, I wanted to talk about that there may be a tendency to blame that inner child for that pain because it's interfering in our adult lives. Like, look, can't you just calm down? I know you're so anxious, but I'm on a deadline here at work and so forth. And for me, that doesn't work at all. Only gentleness and making my inner child feel safe works. Okay. So for me, there's nothing like preparing for an inner child workshop to make my inner child trigger like crazy. So it's like, you're going to be talking about me. This is going to be crazy stuff going on. And so that's the type of thing where it's time for me to get what I call Papa Bear. And this is Mama Bear, Papa or Mama Bear. And this is where it's important. The inner child is not responsible for my adult work. Even if I totally blow this workshop, I say the stupidest things. I have no idea what I'm talking about at all. I do know one thing, that it is not my 12-year-old's job to do this workshop. If I'm having an argument with my wife, something like that, and it's a complicated deal, so that I know it's not my 12-year-old's job to do that. And so it's really important for me to get all Papa Bear about this, be like, look, it's not his job. I must protect him. If I figure out my adult problems or not, it is not my 12-year-old, it's not my 15-year-old, it's not my 20-year-old's job, okay? And this is so important. It's important because I want to know that they did an awesome job for of being them. It's the appreciation piece. They did an awesome job of being them. There are so many of us that would not be here if our inner child couldn't stick with it. Going through that, all that dysfunction, and then all the hardship afterwards of what that dysfunction caused in our life. Our inner child stuck with it. It could have gone the other way. And so let's go on to the visualizations, which is really the meat and potatoes of the whole thing, is sometimes in the visualizations with my inner children. I'll do a congratulations ceremony. I'll be like, so thankful. I'll pin a medal on him. I know it's sort of hokey, but if you live through with my mom, you deserve some sort of trophy and so forth. And other people, you know, I think feel that way too. It's not that my mom was horrible person on the inside, but she was an ACA, an unrecovered ACA type of thing. And I am so thankful for to my inner child that got me through college, that got me through the years of that terrible therapy, and got me through high school. Gentleness breaks. For me, how do I communicate with my inner child? Sometimes I just lay my head back and I close my eyes and I'll just in my chair and I'll just appreciate him so much. I'll listen to him. I'll reassure him. And sometimes he needs more. It's like I have the emotional flu. Like if we had the real flu, we might be in bed for 1, 2, or 3 days. Sometimes for me, it takes taking a break and laying down in the bed for like an hour or so and being with that inner child. And I'll tell you what that looks like. It's like, hey, buddy, I know you work so hard there. I know you were so lonely. You were so tired, so misunderstood, and so forth. It's just like, and I know you just wanted someone to understand you. You wanted someone to be there for you, to listen to you, you know, to tell you that you all those rules really were crazy, and so forth. We are uniquely qualified as adults to give our inner child that feedback they need. Nobody knows my inner child like me, and no one knows their inner child like you. You know their pain. You know what they need to hear. And be that. Visualize. I visualize 49-year-old Brad with 12-year-old Brad. I often use the numbers in my head to help me keep it straight. I'm 49-year-old Brad. I am balding. My 12-year-old has a nice set of red hair. So I visualize this stuff with my arm around him or my 20-year-old. And I be there and I support them on that type of thing. Let's talk about getting a little bit more detailed. Replaying a memory with you as a parent. Okay. So there's another time with mom. And this is another stuttering story, but another time with my mom, where my mom was so anxious that I was going to fail, that she wanted to control everything, that I wasn't going to go out and do stuff with my friends at certain times and so forth. And I would try to talk to her logically about this, and I would try to break through to her with logic. But it wasn't a logical thing with mom. It was an emotional thing. She was scared in logic. So what did she do at that time? She said, I'm not going to listen to you until you can say it fluently without stuttering. Well, that's the type of stuff that'll hurt, so forth. If I replay that memory with mom being really nice to me in that moment, that's going to be a little Disney-like for me. It's not going to ring true for our parents to act in a way that's not in character for them. But what about me? I can replace mom for 49-year-old Brad, and I can do that. Been like, buddy, I know you're feeling trapped. You got your work done. All your buddies are going out. You wanted to go out. Mom didn't want you to do that. I tell you what, I'm going to be there, and I can be in that situation and be like, yeah, I think you've done such an awesome job. Your grades are good. You've been so responsible. I want you to go out with your friends. I trust you. And I replay that image. And that's part of the healing with my inner child. It's replaying memories with me as the parent as many times as it takes. So let's talk about my inner child being upset with me. Okay. My inner child may be angry, sad, etc. It may be uncomfortable to be in the room. You know, I think about myself at a restaurant when we all used to go out to restaurants, but go out to restaurants and there's someone yelling at the server and so forth. It's really uncomfortable to be around that. Sometimes my inner child, especially at the beginning of my recovery work with my inner child, is so angry and so loud, it is uncomfortable to be there. For me, it is just a cover of a deep sadness and loss of not having the parent they needed. We didn't have the parents we needed. And it's just can come out in such anger from what happened and such sadness. And just sitting there with them in that visualization, just being there with them and just knowing that you're there, you're listening, your arm is around them, and you understand, because we understand a bit better than anybody else in the world, our inner children, because we were there. And eventually, it gets better. It's not just angry. And the inner child opens up and talks, and it's a beautiful moment. What should my inner child be doing? Okay, all inner children should be feeling safe and appreciated. That's just my feeling on this. If they're 25, 45, 55, any age, they should all be safe and appreciated, okay? But the younger ones, their job is to play, to go out there and play. I went to horseback. I was at camp once. And when I was young, and there was this horse named Blackjack, and I don't know why I love Blackjack, but God, this horse, the Blackjack, and he's got the ears like this and whatnot, and he's just, you know, such a good horse, and I don't know why I was, like, so attracted to Blackjack, but you know what? You know where my 12-year-old is doing right now during this presentation? He is totally taking a ride on Blackjack, because Blackjack is awesome. And that's the cool stuff that he should be doing, should be playing. Now, my older ones, this is a little bit more involved with me. They can take in more, like that 20-year-old. Take in the success of coming and sharing experience with people here. You know, I can feel the warmth in the room and the appreciation, you know, and that it can be fun to be sharing stuff, knowing now that years ago I was in an ACA room for the first time, not knowing what was going on. And here I am now being able to do service and celebrate that recovery. And that's because my 20-year-old went through what he went through in college. Okay, what is going on here? We had blue and white slides, and now we got black and blue and orange and, you know, gray. This is totally breaking some rules. Okay, so if I'm breaking rules, this is what we're talking about. Rule breaking. Our inner children's rules. I had some crap rules in my house, so forth. After every meal, we did the dishes, but then the chairs had to be put away right. Then they were swept right, and then there were five other things that I had to do just in a row. And then the broom got updated to the Dustbuster in the 80s, and everything had to go just right, so forth. Those rules were very rigid and so forth. Now, for right now, without my recovery, I often think I have to get things done right away. I should have this workshop done at least 10 days in advance with all the slides done and everything done. You know what? I adjusted the slides 15 minutes before I got here. And you know what? They're just as good as if I did them 10 days ago. I'm breaking the rules, totally breaking those rules, because those old rules suck. So one of the things that I think about is the rules in my life that I have from childhood that were not my rules, they were mom's rules. What do I want to do? So I'm breaking rules. I'm doing the gray and the blue slide. Keys when talking with my inner child: gentleness, patience, understanding, empathy, and they may need to be heard. Just need to be heard, acknowledged before the two-way communication begins. Exercise time, my favorite time. Okay, so we're gonna do some exercise. So here's the deal. Last time we just reached for our inner children to try to find our inner children. This time we're going to comfort them, speak to them in the way they need to be spoken to. So for that kindness, that gentleness, telling them that those old rules don't have to play anymore. We can do it our way. so far. So we're going to take a few minutes. Then we're going to have some more people share with us. So let's take a few minutes. Okay.
And once again, if you're just on telephone, it's *9 to raise your hand.
Thank you so much, Christopher.
I can't hear anything.
Hello?
Okay, guys, what we're doing is we're just taking a few minutes here to get in touch with our inner child. We're going to comfort our inner child. Close your eyes. See if you can comfort that inner child in the way we know can. And then we're going to come back and we're going to have a few people share with us. Okay, like 30 more seconds here. Okay, it's the blue hand, if you want to raise your hand.
Is that me?
And Victoria, you want to call the people?
I just unmuted Brenda NC.
Okay, Brenda.
Hello, I am Brenda NC from North Carolina, ACA. Thank you for this workshop. I've, through going to ACA meetings through Zoom since the COVID hit, I've learned so much. And one of the things I learned was the writing letters to my inner child. I write down what happened that I can remember verbatim. And then I dissect it and I act as if I am the older person or the adult in the situation. And I tell the child what she should have heard. Then sometimes I write to the critical parent or the other person in the situation and tell them how I felt during that moment, during those minutes or whatever, that event. And then if there's any realizations, I'll write them down too. Like I realized that I was expecting my older sisters to, you know, I was expecting them to be my parents at one time, and maybe I shouldn't have expected them to do that because they were only like 15 and 17 or 13 and 15. So it wasn't really their responsibility either. So I was able to let go of some of the harsh feelings I had about them, but it helped a great deal. And I've only done two situations that way so far, but it helped a great deal. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Brenda. So that's a great way to write letters, just like I use visualization, sending that. I love that. Thanks for sharing that. Victoria, who do we have next?
Next, we have Deanna B., and I'm going to unmute her.
There we are. Hi. everyone. My name is Deanna, and I'm from Chicago, and I'm fairly new to ACA. And I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity, because I think for one of the first times I was able to visualize and that little five-year-old. And this is my five-year-old, if anybody can see that. And that it was so difficult for me, but I visualized my, I just visualized my loving parent holding and hugging her, you know? And it was beautiful, it was. And I'm 83, and I could visualize that little five-year-old. So thank you.
Thanks so much for sharing that experience with us. Oh, that's great. Okay, who do we have next? We're going to hear about comforting our inner children, or maybe replaying a parenting scene. Go ahead, Victoria.
ACA member 12, I'm trying to unmute them.
Okay, let's see. Am I unmuted?
We can hear you.
Oh, good. All right. I'm 63, and I used to come to the ACA meetings a couple years ago, and I haven't been coming I came for about 3 years. So this is my first meeting in a long time, but it feels so good. I had schizophrenia when I was 14, and I have a lot of the critical parent in me and the inner child. I did some left-handed writing, and I wrote calm-minded. It's been so critical and in my mind and overactive. And I'm that lady at the store that yells, and I'm needing to calm my mind and get the gentleness and the feeling safe and calm-minded. So thanks a lot, Brad. This is wonderful. I've never heard anybody talk like this. That's what I was in. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much for that.
Next is Nicole J.
Hi, it's Nicole. I'm in Warrenton, Virginia, and missed you guys from Leesburg.
Oh, hi, Nicole.
The thing that helps me with the when we were talking before is that when I was seven, my parents they got divorced, and they asked me who I wanted to live with, and I realized that that was not my decision to make in therapy. And so this is why I figured out today that I have so much trouble making decisions. It goes all the way back to that. And when we were visualizing, I visualized like a grown up coming in and grabbing me by the hand and saying, you know what? You don't have to make this decision. Like, let's go outside and play. You're only seven. So we can go outside and play and do other stuff while the parents figure out who I'm going to live with, because that really wasn't my decision to make. So, that's really awesome. And I feel now that my little child is heard and recognized, and who knows, maybe I can make decisions now because I'm 53 and my seven-year-old doesn't have to make those decisions. So right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much. I love the visualization of taking your child outside to play, and she doesn't have to make these decisions, the big adult decisions too. Victoria, go on, one more maybe?
Okay. The next one is Mia E. Hold on. Okay. I'm trying to meet. I think we're fighting each. There we go. Mia, are you
there?
Yes,
I'm here. This is Mia.
Hi, Mia.
I've just been in ACA. This is my sixth week. And I am really sorry that I was not involved in all of this sooner, because I have spent many, many lives, many years of my life, trying to figure out what was wrong with me. So thank you. in regard to this exercise, I am able to connect with my my inner child of four, and I can speak to her. Little girl, you're just so wonderful, and I'm so sorry you had to go through the experience you went through. I feel badly that you didn't have anybody to talk to. You were an only child. You didn't know how to speak about what happened to you, and all you could do was to try to feel like a good girl and not feel bad. It wasn't your fault. Nothing that you could do about it. And I'm here for you. I understand, and I will be there for you from now on.
Thank you, Mia. She's got the parent she needs now in you. So, okay. Thanks everybody. We're going to, there'll be a quick question and answer time at the end. And so we can take more from audience. So let's go ahead to the next slide. Oh, yes. Okay. Clashes with our inner children, troubleshooting. Plenty of colors on this slide. Okay. Let's talk about that. Oh, before I forget, people have been sending me lots of great messages. I'm sorry I can't respond to them right now, but I'm feeling the love. Okay. This is sometimes our inner children might be feeling that disturbance in the force, that clashing, demanding, the blaming, and this last one, made into a little god. I've talked to some people where it becomes a horse trade. If at work, if you just allow me to work now, I'll let you eat half the cake tonight, type of thing. And the inner child is saying, no, I won't be quiet until I get what I want. I won't be quiet unless you leave work right now, type of thing. Well, we may want to leave work right now, but that may not be our choice. So one of the things is I don't get into horse trading with my inner children. I just go with that strong comfort. It's not their job. I promise them it's not their job to do our work, our adult work. Even my 20-year-old, it's not his job to do it. So I keep it there, and I respond with listening, patience, kindness, and I get that mama papa bear going a lot. It's just like that guy got to be really protective, you know. I have to protect him. The rules that I have now is that my inner children do not have to do my adult work. So and that's a rule I love. That's a rule I live by. Okay, this slide is awful. I hate it. This is flowchart stuff. This is definitely not my true self. I am in the wrong place. Let's try again. This slide is even worse. This is like 90s background shadow stuff. Totally dislike this thing. It's like a different flowchart type of thing. All right, that's what I'm talking about. Did you guys see that cool origami flopping away like that? That is awesome, okay? And so when I'm talking about my true self, do you see the colors? It's got like green and blue and white, and it's a gradient. It comes in nicely. And then the white circle, you see how it almost hits the word go on the bottom but doesn't quite get it? I love that kind of stuff. So anyway, this is my true self, goofy and getting out. What is my true self? A lot of people may say, I don't know what my true self is. I don't know if I even have a loving parent. And I would say the fact that you're in ACA shows that you're having a loving parent. The fact that you come to workshops shows that you have a loving parent. It's about taking care. And I am just feel very strongly that I am not my laundry list traits. I picked up a lot of behaviors that kept me alive as a kid that are not functional now. And my true self is myself that can come here today that doesn't have to focus on the results of this workshop, but can focus on, I'm just here to share my story. And if people get something from it, that's great. If not, they'll find another way, so forth. But that's letting go of the results, and that's part of my true self. It is my best me. My true self is my very best me. My true self is not perfect. And I want to talk about second response versus first response. Sometimes my first response may be, Brad, you really suck. That may be my first response. Or you really blew this type of thing going on. Or that was so stupid. I don't count my first responses. My second response is often I call timeout and I say something nice to myself. Hey, I'm glad we're here. We're working on this project. It's taking a little longer, but we're here. We're showing up. We're being authentic. That's so much the nicer response going on. I may always have a first response that's more critical than I want. The longer I'm in ACA, the less I have that nasty first response. But I do not have to live and die on my first response. I get to live in my second response, which is so much nicer. And that's part of my true self. That was a cool animation too. So, okay, where do we go now? I practice this and share it the way I do stuff. And people share the stuff they do with me for the inner child. This is like if working with an inner child, if you haven't worked much with it before or haven't really practiced for it, it's like a muscle going to the gym. It is hard to work out at the gym when you haven't worked out and you're sore the next day and so forth. But after we keep working it, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. So where I'm going here is to really be patient with myself. And I aim patience and just be there for the inner child, because we're the perfect person to be there. Airplane. Okay, so here we've come to the end of the presentation, doing the and where I'm going to take some quick question and answers. Seventh tradition. As you guys know, the group is self-supporting. We don't take outside contributions, but the seventh tradition allows us to do workshops like these, recovery days, pass on some money to region, and to WSO. The website, if Sharon, if you could put it in the chat, is dc-aca.org/seventh tradition. It has been told to me that the suggested donation is between $3 and $5. Feel free to do whatever you want that feels good for you, or nothing at all. It's all our choices. So, but every seventh tradition contribution is appreciated. Great. So we have, it's 5:15. So there's 15 minutes for official questions, but I'm going to stay on till six to keep answering quick questions. So looks like people have already raised their hands. Victoria, can you do the magic again?
Just a second. Just to let you know, I did have in the chat someone ask if there was a way to like mix it up between gender and race. And because not everyone has a camera on, I'm not able to do that this time. Maybe that's something for discussion with our team for next time for next workshop. But so I'm just going in order of hands raised. I apologize that it's not more mixed up. So, all right. So the next person on my list, Martina V.
Hi, I'm Martina Edelchild.
Hi, Martina.
During the first exercise where we were...
Oh, you just got muted, Martina. Can we unmute her?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Hold on. I
lost. She's unmuted now. Martina, can you...
During the first exercise, when we were supposed to connect with our inner child, and try to find a significant event, I wasn't really able to find my inner child or connect with her. Is there a way to, suggestions how to find initially your inner child?
Sure. What I would do is one of the things that I start off with, it's like I can start off intellectually and then move to emotionally. All of us have disturbing events from our past, and we can remember those and remember the age that that person, child is, 8 years old, 10 year olds, 12 year olds. And I try to imagine how that child felt then during that event. That's one way I tend to do it. I also go with feelings. So if there's a specifically anxious feeling, you know, my 12-year-old feels anxious. I was terribly anxious that whole year, and that helps me. There's also the non-dominant handwriting type of thing going on. And then also patience. Keep at it, doing patience, and she will appear when she's ready. As long as there's a welcome, appreciating place for her.
So when I think about the child in this traumatic event, and I think she would be very scared, how does this help me to find my inner child?
when I imagine what my inner child looks like, I imagine what they feel like, and I visualize that person in that moment, and I start talking to them. I start talking to them in the way that they want it to be heard, because mom or dad or whoever was there was talking in a way that was not what we wanted. So I just start talking to them in a way, and I'm patient, and I give them a chance to let their voice go. It may take time. There's no magic. I have it, but I just stay with it. Okay. Thank you. Victoria?
Okay. The next, I hope this is right. I accidentally lowered her hand, so I'm thinking this is right. If she doesn't want to say anything, then I made a mistake. I apologize. MJR, or he or she, MJR.
And again, while we're waiting for MJR to join us, if you are on phone only and you've recently joined, it's *9 to raise your hand in the chat room. Thanks.
Hey, this is MJ. Can you hear me?
Hi, MJ. Yes.
Hey, so thank you so much for today. I just wanted to say I'm very new to ACA. I'm 27 years old, and I just kind of discovered that I am ACA. So this was my first kind of session with it, but I just had a question. I struggle a lot with disassociating, and like it's very hard for me to connect with my inner child because I don't remember my childhood a lot. So I just wondered if you ever struggled with that and how you kind of got around it, or what was the easiest way for you to find your inner child?
Well, one of the things is, you know, disassociating, using something to just get away in the head is a defense mechanism that works well. But one of the things that I think about is, I have a sense of the pain of my inner child and my inner children, and I know what they would want to hear. I know that they want to be loved. I know he wants to feel safe. I know doesn't feel understood. He feels helpless. I just start talking to him or her, in your case, start talking to her as if she's there. And creating a warm space to give her the opportunity to speak.
That's really appreciate doing that.
Thanks, MJ.
Yeah, thank you so much, Brad, for sharing. My sister and I are actually on here today, and I invited her because we both discovered this like during quarantine, like 2 days ago. So this was a huge
right on. I'm so glad to hear it.
Thank you so much.
You bet, Victoria.
Solani, I think I always get her name wrong, but it is Solani. There you go.
It did great.
Oh, hi, Solani. Thank you so much.
How are you? Well, why am I all these people? I'm so happy. so many people are attending and new people. So in all the years that I've been doing the work, I never brought my adult loving self together with that very wounded child, which, and the memory that hurts the most is from when I was 2 years old. And I see that I have a lot of compassion. I have good boundaries nowadays. I'm kind to myself. Yet when it came to comforting my kid is very, very scared. My kid would not, I started by having my adult say, it's okay, it's safe, it's okay to come here, it's okay to come here. And I finally realized that I needed to approach the child rather than have the kid do anything, and could only get about 2 feet away, which is related to my distrust of people. So I just was wondering if you had any thoughts or if you had that experience.
Well, you know, when I think about two-year-olds, you've got a kid that's not totally verbal yet, and we've got a kid that's not has the mobility yet. At that type of thing, to my mind, is touch, play, presence showing up are so important. So I do visualizations with the super young ones about me showing up, playing some games, reflecting the feelings. I'm mad. It's like, you are really mad, so forth. I am so here with you, type of thing. And I just keep showing up and doing that warmth thing and the touch with my visualizations.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Solani.
Okay. All right. Next is John C. Whoa, let me unmute.
Hello, can I be heard?
You're heard.
Hello. Oh, lovely to thank you for an amazing session. I think for me, I'm not sure what's stopping me from my loving parent being involved, being around today for me. So for example, my landlord was coming at 2 p.m. today to inspect where I'm living for a repair. And, you know, I'd let all the dishes piled up and I hadn't vacuumed and, you know, etc. And I'm able to just get it all clear for my landlord. And it's great. I live in a lovely place. But, you know, when I try and do it myself, I can feel like tonight washing up, I've done it. But there's an argument in my head. And things like that. And I think you mentioned procrastination might be in the realm of inner child, inner teenager, inner child adult, which is like I have a 30-year-old one as well. So I'm just wondering, Brad, is there any way to unpick this so that, you know, who do I talk to try to get me to clean the room, go to bed early, not look at TikTok to 4 in the morning? Yeah, is it an inner child or my inner critic or my inner teenager, or is it for me to talk to? What's your guess?
John, thanks so much for sharing that. Yeah, personally, I have some struggles with the household and the dishes and all that too. And I'll tell you, it was not as much a simple solution for me. One of the things that's important, because I had lots of rules growing up, is I had to get away from the black and white, the good and the bad. I had to break out of, it is good to have my house clean. It is bad to have my house dirty. This is not necessarily things that I think should be defined as good and bad for me. So I think about, I am living in my house and I am being present and authentic in my house. And the most important things to me are the connection I have with my wife and the connections that I have with my kids. And I needed to depower the whole rule thing going on. Secondly, thinking about what I want. I certainly know what mom wanted. Mom wanted things clean. She wanted things clean in a very efficient way. She wanted things done in the way to do them, not just the result, but the process had to be just right too. I can't stand that noise about the having to do things so much right. But what is it that I want to do? One of the things that I found is that I often reach for my loving parent when my inner child is feeling bad. But the more I just talk to my inner loving parent, just more of it, more as an actor rather than a reactor, just when I want to check in at times, I start to really think, what do I want? What do I want? And then I start to think, I want to clean stuff up for me, but no crazy rules with orders of things. So that worked really well for me. And then also, I wanted to just be able to give myself permission that I could do things my way, and that when I had those terrible feelings of conflict from the past, I sit down and I close my eyes and I just feel them, and when they don't break me, I sit there. Sometimes it's just 2 or 3 minutes. It's probably sometimes 30 seconds that feels like two or three minutes. Sometimes it's longer. It doesn't break me. I let them wash over me. I observe them. I don't have to react. I can be an observer. And so that's how I roll with that, and patience. And it took a long time for me.
I just want to follow up, Brian. What about how you experience the sponsees or fellows where it's the other way? So your husband was like the feral child, no rules. I took my family's laundry to the laundromat, the laundrette, when I was 9, you know, to put my brothers and sisters into bed and made them brush their teeth. So it's really odd that I'm odd, strange now. Do you have any experience, strength and hope, when it's the other way around, when the child hasn't had any boundaries?
Well, you just told me you had different rules than me. Yes. But those were your set of rules of how you did that. So forth. And now there's a disturbance in the force where the rules are not quite working for you anymore. So the question is, what do you want? You know, and we talked about sitting with it, finding out the loving parent, and finding more what you want, and then giving yourself the patience to do that. Thank you.
Amazing evening. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Where are you calling in from, John?
London, UK. It's late here.
Right on. Thanks for coming. Just to let everybody know, at our peak, we had over 600 people here today.
That's right. Yeah.
Right on. Okay. Next.
All right. Autumn is up.
Oh, thank you so much, Victoria.
Hi,
Brad.
Hi.
Hi, my name's Autumn. I'm an adult child. You have a gift for this. Never, ever stop doing this, please.
feeling the love. Thank you.
Do, please. I was on a retreat, a loving inner parent retreat for 2 days, and I had the most wonderful time. And then I felt so calm and wonderful. And then my bathroom completely, there is a reason I'm saying this. Then I went into my bathroom and it was flooding, literally water coming in the walls, the electricity socket, everything. And then I reached out online, found you guys and joined this incredible workshop. And what I know, and went to my inner child after one of the processes. And she said to me, I did it. It's my fault. She was absolutely distraught. I did it. I did that. I feel a bit emotional. And I said, how? And I was almost jumped in with what? Why would? And I just said, okay, I hear you. I hear you that you really, it must be really upsetting that you feel you did that. And so I let her feel her feelings first, and she got very crying. She was, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And she wouldn't stop saying she was sorry. And I held her and I called in my higher power, my mother goddess, to really kind of shore up my inner loving parent, because I wasn't quite sure how to approach this, Brad. And this is where I'm asking for feedback, please. There is a deep pattern in me and my life, and I've gone to my inner children again and again and again, and it continues, and it is that I'm not allowed to be happy or feel good. And either it will be in a moment of relaxed joy or possibly peace or love, I will get hit with an image of trauma. Or it will be something more practical like this in life, where I will have an amazing, wonderful experience, and then bang, something really bad is immediately on the tails of it. So this little inner child now, this 8-year-old, is saying, I did that, I did that. And I was trying to, I was asking her why or how, explain to me how for you, you did that. And I got a flashback to when I was 5 and my father took us out for the day. It was the only good day with him in a very bad childhood. And then when we got home, he lined us up and said, Mummy's gone. She's never coming back. Get used to it. And so that is the template for something really beautiful and unusual, and then the worst thing. But I can't get through this, Brad. I haven't been able to unpick this. Even now, just now, with this inner child now who's so distraught, I cannot unpick. I can't make the cycle stop. I'm honestly at the end of my tether. I feel powerless.
Okay. So, thanks. One of the things I think when I hear about the inner child that says it's her fault type of thing going on there, she is feeling pain from the past, and she is taking responsibility for the present. And one of the things for my inner children that I've had to set up a rule, but this is my rule, so forth. That rule is I must protect my inner children from current adult things. I just have to draw that line. I won't have it. I got to get old Papa Mama Bear about this. And it's like, you know, and I'm very firm with my inner children that it's not their fault. They do not have to do this, but I want to know about their pain. And I get curious about their pain, but I create that boundary, a firm boundary for my children to push back on with me. And they know that I'm not going to move off of this. Is that this is not their fault. They are not responsible for my job. When I build websites, they are not responsible how that web page looks, so forth and on and on, and so forth. So that's the first thing, is I create that boundary, which is sort of, it's a harsh boundary, but it's a protective boundary for them. It's something that they can depend on. And then I try to go back into more about what is that 12-year-old, 8-year-old, 6-year-old's pain. And I listen, and I show up, and I try to give them the comfort that they needed and deserved. Okay.
Thank you. So thank you. The pattern itself, then, of how do you resolve the pattern itself, if not through the inner child?
The pattern of blame?
No, the pattern of every time something good happens, then immediately something very bad happens.
Okay. Well, the thing I think of is, for me, is when I live my life is more of my true self, and I get divorced from the results more. I don't look at the pattern so much. This is good. Good things always happen, and then bad things always happen. If I am not tied to the results and I'm showing up and just being authentic, that's really good enough, and I'm not seeing the patterns. And I just keep working. On with my inner child. We're going to have to move on to someone else. I just want to give other people some time, but thank you for your courage to share that.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
Beth, I think we're going to go to two-minute timing on people, just so we can have more people share.
Okay. All right. Linda is up next.
Thank you. This is Linda, adult child of alcoholic parents. Thank you for your service today. My question is,
I was in a meeting. We were doing inner child, you know, where we were quiet for 5 minutes or something. And I feel like my teenager showed up, like to the right of me, like kind of hidden. And I went to talk to her. I feel like she was there, but I'll tell you, when I'm working this kind of inner child stuff, I feel like I'm making it up. I am in touch with the 5-year-old me, but I still feel like it's a little bit fantasy, like I used to do when I was a little kid and stayed in bed because it was safe there and fantasized. So just that, like breaking through this, it feels like some kind of a barrier that, I don't know, I'm telling myself a lie and none of this is true. And
well, Linda, thank you so much for sharing this. And I do, my thought on this is, it partially is fantasy. My 12-year-old is not here anymore. You know, neither is my 20-year-old. But the feelings are very real. The concept, the framework of the inner child are very real to me. And it's made a tremendous amount of difference. And it's kind of a cornerstone of this program. And so when I hear about this isn't real, it feels judgment to me. And I think the idea is just the kindness of, this is how I'm feeling. This is what happened to my inner child. I carry him or her with me, so forth, and that their needs are real, and so forth. And so I show up and I treat them with the respect that they needed, because it's, you know, there is a quote in the book that it's like never too late to have a, maybe it wasn't in the book, maybe somewhere else, never too late to, I'm going to mess it up, but the idea was that it was never too late to have a good parent type of thing. And that good parent is us type of deal. And so, you know, and I just don't, it's this works for me. And so I hang out with a lot of other ACAs that can talk about this stuff, and it makes me feel like I'm in family. Victoria, thank you.
Brad, I wanted to jump in with just one thought on what she just asked you, because that I had that same thing sometimes. Like, I'm just making this story up. It seems kind of crazy, but what I found is it's not making it up, because it helps. It works. Like, I had my sponsor would say, I had this boss that sometimes I would go into the meetings, I would be triggered in the meeting. She goes, well, don't take your inner child with you. You know, have her go to a babysitter. Or what I did when I was having trouble with my teenager and I realized my teenager was going to work with me and I was having those reactions at work, I had my teenager go to high school, because my husband's a high school teacher, actually at the high school we're zoned for. I know it sounded crazy, but it would help. Like, I would, before I go in the meeting, if I recognized my 6-7-year-old was nervous, I would say, you don't need to be in the meeting. You can stay here and read books, because that was my passion as a child. It still is as an adult. And just by creating that safe space for that child and saying, you don't need to do it like that, because you said this, Brad, that child's not responsible. That's protecting the child from the work. I had to do all the housework growing up because of the neglect in my household. So now the inner child always wants to rebel and not do the work. I'm saying, that's okay. You don't have to clean the house. I'm going to clean the house. And by doing those things, it really makes a difference. Even though it may seem like you're making something up, it's real. You know, it really is real. That's how I was treated. Now I'm treating myself the way I wanted to be, needed to be treated when I was a child. So I just wanted to throw that little in there. So.
Thank you, Victoria. I've been getting a lot of comments about, hold on a second. I've been getting a lot of comments about where the recording is going to be. On the DC-ACA website, it'll be at that same place where the slides are eventually, and then it'll get posted on to WSO at some point. Okay.
I just wanted to add something.
You want me to continue? All right.
Sure. What you guys were just
talking about. Because I feel like we're not making it up. We actually do hold that pain in our body. We hold that energy from that child within our body from that age where it stopped. And we're not making it up. It's more like we're using it as a tool. We're using like the visualization of, I find it easier to have a picture of me at that age and to like, so I can actually visualize myself like in a safe space in a forest. And I go to her. And I always integrate her into me by way of saying like, it's okay. I'm an adult now. You don't have to worry. Take my hand and I will take care of it because I am an adult now. And just like that connect, that middle piece is like kind of what we make up. It's like, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but I hope that makes sense because that, really helps me. So.
Thanks, Michelle. Yeah. Victoria?
Who's next? Next is Erin.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for this workshop. This has been incredible. I will, I'll get to my questions quickly, but I'm really, really glad I'm in such good hands today. Thank you. I had two questions. One was if you wouldn't mind kind of explaining what you mean when you say horse trading. My second is, when I did the second exercise, I found that the first and second exercise, the strongest reaction to me was like, I think someone else shared about it too, like a terrorized child in a space of being like petrified from a place of rage. Like I would be surrounded by people being very rageful. And I don't know how to even start to comfort that. If anybody has an example of where to begin there, that would be great.
Thanks, Erin. Okay, the first thing when I talk about horse trading is this is something that when I've talked to other people about inner child, it has to talk. I've heard people talk to me about my inner child won't let me do that. My inner child is, I get too upset, too angry. My inner child doesn't like that. I really want to do X, but my inner child says no. And then the horse trading starts to begin. If you let me do X, I will let you end up doing Y, and so forth. And so this inner child becomes some sort of powered to make sort of adult decisions. And so that's why for me, that mama papa bear rule has to be so strong, is that they're not responsible for my adult life and so forth. But I will talk to them about the feelings about if I want to do something that makes them feel uncomfortable. Maybe I'm doing something that they were afraid of as a kid. I'll talk to them about that. I'll talk to them about their fear, but I won't stop myself from doing what I want to do, and I will just continually comfort them. Now, the terrorized and so forth is, you know, the bigger the trauma type of stuff going on, there may need to be some therapy, in my opinion, added into the equation. But what I believe in is showing up again and again for that traumatized, listening, feeling, and saying, reassuring, and let them get that out. If it takes a day, a week, a month, and I'll just keep showing up visually, and so forth. And I'll agree with them where I can. That was so unfair, so forth. And eventually, that sort of talk starts to become a bit of a conversation, and then that's my edge in.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Right. Next is Susa Lee. I'm saying that right.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. I just had so many questions that participants already asked, but I just wanted to take this moment to say that my mind is completely blown away, and I am so grateful to turn into to come to this workshop, and I really appreciate your clarity and the hope overall. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I'm feeling the love. I appreciate that.
Joe.
Hi. I just wanted a couple of quick questions. On the slide, just before this last slide, you say about what is my true self and saying that it's me without my laundry list traits. Now, what would you say that you can be your true self with some of your laundry traits still, or even like all of them, if you're currently still kind of working through the steps? And also another question of if you're in a situation where you've kind of been hurt by someone and respond by kind of withdrawing and running away, I don't know whether it's partly my inner child running away or it's my inner parents saying, look, you don't have to be treated like that. Like, what would you say to kind of, I don't know.
Okay. The first part of your question was the true self. Okay. So I think of my true self as the myself without the laundry list traits. Now, I am never going to be completely free of my laundry list traits. There's just no magic as good as ACA is, so forth. My true self is my concept, my idea of who I really am, who I want to be, how I want to act, and so forth. It, you know, has to do with authenticity. It has to do with just kind of trying to come and be clarity. It has to do with being an actor, not a reactor. All those types of things. But I don't use it as a hammer saying, you're not acting as your true self. I use it as a, wow, I really felt like in this presentation I got going and I really felt connected to my true self type of thing. So that's how I use the true self. And what was the second part of your question? Was it a relationship? Just real quick, summarize.
Yeah, so say a situation's come up with, say, my sister, that she's really hurt me. And I tried to kind of work it out with her. And in the end, it ended up with me kind of withdrawing, not contacting her. And part of me thinks that it's my inner child kind of doing what it used to do and just kind of run up to my bedroom or something and go and hide. Or part of me thinks it's my inner parent thinking, oh no, she can't treat me like that. Like, I'm wondering how to kind of decipher what side of whether it's in a child or in a parent and how to deal with that, really.
Okay. Well, when I look at situations, I look at how am I feeling with this? What is important to me and my values? Maybe even what is my true self on some of these things? And did I behave in the way that I wanted to behave? What can I own in that situation? What is for them to own in that situation? And then on the feelings of fear and running away, if they echo some stuff from my past, like my something that feels like my inner child and so forth, if I'm asking the question, why did I behave that way? Type of thing. I didn't want to do that type of thing. Then I get curious about what's going on with my inner child and is my inner child driving the bus sort of thing going on there. And then I need to comfort my inner child and let him, her know that you know, I'm going to drive the bus. I'm going to deal with relationships with my siblings. But a lot of it gets down to how I want to behave, and then behaving in a way where I can feel good about that, like you using I statements and so forth like that, setting boundaries, that kind of thing. Thanks, Jill. Victoria?
Okay. Hold on. I lost my spot. I don't have a name on this one, but it's 1201 and then the rest of a phone number. So I'll unmute.
Come on. Hi, this is David. Am I heard?
You're heard.
Great. Okay, I'm calling from New Jersey, and